Good morning, and welcome to the Central Puerto conference call following the results announcement for the quarter ended on June 30, 2019. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Please note this event is being recorded. If you do not have a copy of the press release, please refer to the investor support section on the company's corporate website at www.centralpuerto.com. A replay of today's call may be accessed by accessing the website in the investor support section of the Central Puerto corporate website. Before we proceed, please note that certain statements made by the company during this conference call are forward-looking statements, and we refer you to the forward-looking statements section of our earnings release and recent filings with the SEC. Central Puerto assumes no obligation to update forward-looking statements except as required under applicable securities laws. In addition, all financial figures were prepared in accordance with IFRS and are stated in Argentinian pesos unless otherwise noted. On the call from Central Puerto is Jorge Rauber, Chief Executive Officer, Fernando Bonet, Chief Financial Officer, Milagros Grande, Corporate Finance Manager, and Tomas Dalian, Investor Relations Officer. And now I will turn the call over to Jorge Rauber. Mr. Rauber, you may begin.
Thank you. We are joining you today with our team from Buenos Aires, Argentina, to report on the results of the second quarter 2019 and to answer any questions you may have regarding the current situation. Yesterday was a very difficult time for our company and the Argentinian stock market in general. We want to ensure you that our team is closely looking at the situation in order to mitigate any impact on the recent events. That said, I will refer first to the operative figures of the quarter and then continue with some recent news regarding Central Puerto. Finally, Tomas will analyze the financial results. During the second quarter, we generated 3.3 terawatt hours of electricity, a 4% increase as compared to the same quarter 2018. This increase was mainly due to a 16% increase in thermal generation, which in the second quarter of 2018 was affected by the maintenance of our Central Puerto combined cycle and 147 gigawatt hour of additional energy from the wind farms Achira and La Castellana, which started operating during the third quarter of 2018. This increase was partially offset by a 36% decrease in energy generation from hydropower plants due to less water flow. For the general market, electricity generation during the quarter decreased 9.1% compared to the same period of the previous year, according to CAMMESA, mainly due to a decrease in the demand by residential and industrial customers. Our thermal units reached 92% availability in the period, increasing 13 percentage points from the level of time during the second quarter of 2018. As a comparison, the average availability of the thermal units during the second quarter 2019 was 80%, according to CAMMESA. We continue with the construction of our thermal and renewable energy projects. Regarding Luján de Cuyo, we expected that the unit to start commercial operations on November this year, and the Terminal 6 San Lorenzo project to start the operation during the second quarter of 2020. We have good advances in our renewable energy projects, too. On July 16, the wind farm La Castellana 2 commenced its operations, and we expect the same for La Genoveva 2 during the next weeks. Regarding the Manque projects, we have recently changed the schedule for the construction, and we expect it to start a commercial operation on November this year instead of September, as originally planned. The budget for this project remained the same. The rest of the renewable energy projects have also good advances in their construction schedules and are within budget as well. regarding the projects under the term market regulatory framework, it's important to mention that we have already signed contracts for 79% of our expected electricity generation from them. These are long-term bilateral contracts entered into directly with large customers with prices set in US dollars. During this quarter, we signed the transfer of the Brigadier Lopez power plant, adding 280 megawatts to our current installed capacity. The results associated to the Brigadier Lopez plant have been included on Central Puerto's income statement starting in June 2019. Finally, we continue with the collection of the monthly installments of the Vuelta de Obligado agreement as scheduled. Additionally, during June and July, we collected 2,562 million pesos and 825 million pesos, including value-added tax related to the installments corresponding to the first to third to tenth installment of this agreement, respectively, which total approximately equivalent of 57.2 million and 19.8 million using the exchange rate of the date of each collection. And now I will turn the call over to Tomás, who will comment on the financial highlights of the quarter.
Thank you, Jorge. Before starting, it's worth noting that the financial statements as of and for the quarter ended on June 30, 2019, include the effects of the inflation adjustment, applying International Accounting Standard Number 29. Accordingly, the financial figures that I will mention have been stated in the terms of Argentine pesos of the end of the reporting period, including the data from the previous periods and the growth comparisons here mentioned. Consequently, the comparative information included in the financial statements for the quarter ended on June 30, 2018 is not comparable to the financial statements previously published by us. The results achieved during the second quarter of 2019 were in line with our expectations, considering the reduction in the power and energy prices for the units under the Energía Base regulatory framework. Revenues from continuing operations increased 74% to 5.8 billion pesos in the second quarter, mainly driven by 1. An increase in energy generated during the second quarter of 2019 of 4% as compared to the second quarter of 2018, and 13 percentage point increase in availability of thermal units under Energía Base, which was 92% during the second quarter of 2019. 2. An increase in exchange rate for the quarter higher than the inflation for the period, which impacted tariffs set in US dollars in terms of Argentine pesos current at the end of the reporting period. As a reference, the average foreign exchange rate during the second quarter increased 87% compared to the second quarter of 2018, while the inflation rate for the 12-month period ended on June 30, 2019, was 56%. 3. An increase in fuel remuneration for units under Energía Base, which amounted to 1.8 billion pesos during the second quarter of 2019, mainly because of income in accordance to Resolution 70 in some of the units under the Energía Base regulatory framework, compared to 202 million during the second quarter of 2018. And 4, a 445% increase in sales under contracts, which amounted to 546 million pesos during the second quarter of 2019, as compared to 1 million pesos in the second quarter of 2018. Mainly due to the energy generated of wind farms Achiras and La Castellana 1, which started operations during the third quarter of 2018, and revenues related to the recently acquired Brigadier Lopez plant accrued during June 2019, as Jorge mentioned before, which amounted to 344 million. It's worth noting that according to the transfer contract, the economic effects of this transaction were considered as of April 1, 2019. However, applying the accounting standards, the results associated to Brigadier Lopez plant have been included on Central Puerto's income statement starting on June 2019. Since the results of April and May were considered as part of a fair value of the liabilities and assets acquired. This increase in revenues was partially offset by the decrease in energy and power prices for units under the Energía Base regulatory framework, established by Resolution 1, as Jorge mentioned before, starting on March 1, 2019. Our gross profit in the quarter increased 64%. This increase was due to the above-mentioned revenues and was partially offset by an increase in the cost of sales that totaled $3.3 billion, compared to $1.8 billion in the second quarter of 2018. The increase in the cost of sales was mainly driven by, first, an increase in the purchase of fuel and related concepts, which totaled $1.8 billion during the second quarter of 2018, as compared to $0.4 billion in the second quarter of 2018, due to A, the cost of self-supplied fuel purchased in accordance to Resolution 70, we've mentioned before, and B, a higher price of natural gas used in the units that generate steam or electric energy under the Energía Plus framework, mainly due to an increase in the exchange rate for the second quarter of 2019, which was higher than the inflation for the period, which impacted the U.S. dollar denominated prices of natural gas in terms of the Argentine peso. As a reference, the average foreign exchange rate during the second quarter of 2019 increased 87% compared to the second quarter of 2018, while the inflation rate for the 12-month period ended on June 30, 2019 was 56%. And second, an 8% increase in non-fuel related cost of production, which totaled $1.5 billion in the second quarter of 2019, as compared to $1.4 billion in the second quarter of 2018, mainly due to A, a 16% increase in compensation to employees, and a 150% increase in maintenance costs, which was partially offset by a 31% decrease in fees and compensation for services. Operating income before other operating results net increased 86% to $2.1 billion, compared to $1.1 billion in the second quarter of 2019. This increase was due to the above-mentioned increase in gross profit and a less-than-proportional increase in administrative and selling expenses that totaled 421 million pesos, which represents a 3% increase as compared to 409 million in the second quarter of 2018. Our adjusted EBITDA was around 3.1 billion, which includes 377 million in interest on foreign exchange difference associated with the FONI and similar programs trade receivables, which are denominated in US dollars. Without taking into account this effect, our adjusted EBITDA during the second quarter of 2019 was 2.8 billion pesos, an increase of 55% as compared to 1.8 billion obtained in the same period of 2018. This increase was mainly driven by the increase in gross profit mentioned above. In order to have a more precise estimation of the operational cash flow generated during the period, it is important to consider the FONI collections. During the second quarter, we collected 3 billion pesos from the FONI trade receivables, including the collections from CVO mentioned by Jorge earlier. Consolidated net income was $1.4 billion in the second quarter of 2019. In addition to the above-mentioned factors, net income was A, positively impacted by lower financial expenses that amounted to $590 million in the second quarter of 2019, compared to $2.1 billion in the second quarter of 2018, and B, negatively impacted by lower financial income, which amounted to $556 million during the second quarter of 2019 compared to $1.4 billion in the second quarter of 2018. In each case, in both cases in A and B, mainly due to the foreign exchange difference over U.S. dollar denominated debt and financial assets, respectively, which excludes foreign and other trade receivables. Additionally, the results from the share of profits of associated decreased to $240 million in the second quarter of 2019 as compared to $484 million in the second quarter of 2018, mainly due to weaker results from operations of ECOWAS. Finally, results for exposure to the exchange rate, to the exchange in the purchasing power of currency totaled 1.2 billion during the second quarter of 2019, as compared to 770 million in the second quarter of 2018. During the second quarter of 2019, we received loans to finance our expansion projects. We received $100 million for the acquisition of the Brigadier López plant, $44 million for the Luján de Cuyo project, $37.5 million for La Genoveva 2, and $12.5 million for La Castellana 2. We used the proceeds of these loans for the expansion of our current installed capacity, including the acquisition of the Brigadier López plant and the thermal and renewable energy projects. Thank you, and now we invite you to ask any questions to our team.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touchtone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. And to withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause for a moment to assemble our roster. Our first question today will come from Frank McGann of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much. No, I just was wondering how you're thinking about your investment program and as you know, looking at the uncertain environment here. The market itself has already been somewhat, I guess, soft because of a little bit of excess capacity. But I was wondering if you had any, you know, just thoughts on how the current uncertainty and perhaps your views on possible policy going forward could impact those investment plans.
Okay, thanks, Frank. I will answer this question as long as I can. The first thing to say is that we assume our expectation is that the government, if change as expected, will not change the regulation regarding the PPAs, which are currently set in those. All our expansion plan is based on PPAs paid in dollars, and we don't expect any kind of change. But why? Because it's what they did in the past. In fact, they were in power for a long time and always comply with the rules regarding the PPA. So our expansion plan, the units that we are building today, the renewable projects and the power plants, will continue as expected, basically as expected, without any kind of change. Probably the regulation will change, or for the existing plants, perhaps there is some risk of specification, but that will just target the, which is called the legacy capacity, in and not the expansion of all the units of the system. Change in regulation regarding the PPAs will have a very bad impact on the market. There are a lot of projects under construction, and a change in regulation regarding this will be a very bad signal for the market, and we don't expect them to take that kind of measure.
Okay. If I could just follow up, in terms of Fonin-Vimen payments, is it correct to say that in the past, since they started that plan, or under the Kirchner governments anyways, that and they paid all the amounts that were due at the time, that you would not expect any change in payments that would come from remuneration from that plan?
No, for sure. They created that scheme. So our contract was signed with them, and for the years that we were related to that kind of program with that government, they always complied with the installments. They duly paid all the amounts that were agreed. So we don't expect changes regarding this. I mean, it was a project created by them.
Yes, and another important thing to consider regarding that is the amount that is still unpaid is not a significant amount for the government. It's a very small portion. We have in our balance sheet $400-something million, and we are the biggest. So the remaining portion of that funding amendment scheme is not relevant for the government.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank
and
you.
Again, If you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. Our next question today will come from Ezequiel Fernandez of Credit Corp. Please go ahead.
Hi, good day. This is Ezequiel Fernandez from Credit Corp Capital. A couple of questions have been already addressed. Thank you. I'd like to go back to the Fonimbemem receivable. If you could give us a little bit more color on what is the legal structure of the agreement. Is it a contract between private parties? Any sense of what, you know, could make this solid would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, it's basically, I think, Ezequiel, it's basically an agreement between the government and the private generators in order to invest account receivables which were outstanding at that time. So it's basically this. I mean, after that, it was implemented through a trust, but it's basically an agreement between the government and the private generator, signed by the, I mean, the previous administration, which was previous to Macri, the Kirchner administration.
Thank you. Yes, I'm more or less aware of the legacy history with the Fonimbemem, but I wanted to know if the contract is precisely with the federal government, or being with COMESA, it can be considered a contract with between private entities or not.
I mean, our agreement directly with the government. After that, it was implemented through an agreement, a contract between a trust and COMESA in order just to collect the money that after that is sent to pay us. But our agreement is with the government.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. We have a question from Arthur Burns of Deltec Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. I wanted to ask the question, assuming your revenues continue to be honored going forward, does the 20-odd percent devaluation of the currency affect in any way your ability to repay debt?
No, we think not. No, because our debt is very small in comparison with our revenues today. We are below 1.4 times EBITDA. So we don't see any problem to repay our debt.
And besides that, we expect that for next year, 65% of our EBITDA will come from the PPA contracts, which are not subject to changes in their price and the currency in which they are set. So we think that we are in a good position. And besides, we have the Fonimbemem cash flow.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude our question and answer session at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Albert for closing remarks.
Thank you to everyone and for your interest in Central Puerto. We encourage you to call us at any time for any information that you may need. Thank you and have a good afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now concluded. And we thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect your lines.